This is your classical break, a chance to take a step back and enjoy some great music in the middle of a busy day. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we'll be finishing up with Anton Reicha's 7th Wind Quintet with the 3rd and 4th movements. Now, the Wind Quintet itself grew out of a type of ensemble called the Harmonie that was popular in German areas. It was a group of woodwinds, usually oboes, bassoons, clarinets, and horns, and they'd play simple dance music and serenades for parties and banquets. You'd use a harmonie if you didn't want to use, or you couldn't afford, a full orchestra. The flute wasn't a part of these groups, but if you remember from the Mozart Flute Quartet episode last week, it was a very popular instrument, especially among amateurs. So these five instruments were around and incorporated into orchestras, but most composers didn't pay them much mind as a serious group on their own. Reicha, though, was a flute player himself. Now, this was not common for a composer. Usually they played the piano, the violin, the organ, possibly the cello. His uncle, who adopted him at a young age, was a cellist. And Reicha did learn the violin, but the flute was his primary instrument, and it gave him an insight into how woodwinds worked that a lot of composers just did not have. He said himself, at the time there was a dearth not only of good classic music, but of any good music for wind instruments simply because the composers knew little of their technique. Reicha was especially interested in chamber music, and so he decided he should write some pieces for a small group of woodwinds. And you can hear his expertise in the writing. The parts for each instrument have virtuosic passages that fit that particular instrument really well. And he was obviously aware of the advancements in making these instruments that we talked about yesterday, because he incorporates some of the expanded possibilities into his writing, pushing these new developments along. But he didn't go too far off the deep end. His wind quintets give the player and the listener plenty of nice melodies to latch onto, and the textures are usually very clear. There aren't 50 things going on all at once. These quintets were very popular when he published them because he gave all the woodwind players out there something to really bite into and gave listeners a new sound to listen to as well. The third movement is a minuet, starting off with an interesting theme where the instrument comes in each one after the other, forming a chord. It's kind of like the doo-wop group. Minuets are in an ABA form, meaning that there's a first part, contrasting middle part called the trio, and then it goes right back to that first part to finish it out. So the trio is a little bit more dramatic, but overall the third movement is light and graceful, and you hear that little, I like to think of it as the doo-wop motif, happening multiple times throughout the piece. Now in the fourth movement, Reicha's writing for each instrument really shines. Each one gets a little solo passage to show off a bit, and the rest of the time they're weaving constantly around each other, passing the main theme around. Here's the Sonny Venturum Wind Quartet with the third and fourth movements of Reicha's 7th Wind Quintet. Thank you.
Thank you.
The third and fourth movements of Reicha's seventh wind quintet. It's a really interesting texture. You can hear why Reicha was so interested in writing new pieces for that new kind of ensemble. Again, thanks to the Sony Venturum Wind Ensemble for putting this up on the web. You can hear more from their archive at sonyventurum.com. That's SONYVENTORUM.com. And thank you so much for listening. If you have a moment, please rate and review this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever it is you get it. I'm Tyler Alderson, and tomorrow for your classical break, we'll turn back to the strings and keyboards with a really beguiling sonata for cello and piano by Debussy. See you then.